Have you ever wondered what impact your travel to wild places has and what you leave behind? I'm Peter Allison, and this is Zebra on a Bike, a monthly podcast by the Natural Selection Foundation, where we have honest conversations about what travel to these wild places takes and what it gives back. In each episode, I talk with safari guides, conservationists, explorers, and thinkers, people who've spent their lives in the wild spaces we pass through, and who believe that travel, done properly, can protect places, support communities, and still change us in the process. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Zebra on a Bike. We've already hosted a few legends on this program, and today we've got a legend among legends. That legend actually begins not with the man, but with a place. Perhaps the most famous safari camp in the whole of Botswana is somewhere called Jack's Camp. But Jack's Camp wouldn't be Jack's without its head guide and perhaps longest-serving staff member. We'll check in on that. A man with the magnificent name to match his stature, Super Sunday. Super's been there since before the camp even existed, working for Jack himself. The camp was started by Jack's son, Ralph, but Jack Balsfield was a Guinness Book of Records holder for having hunted more crocodiles than anybody else. That was a government program he was involved with. And Super began working for him when he was a teenager. Anytime I ask Super how old he actually is, he gives me a different answer. It doesn't go up year by year. So we're not exactly sure how old Super is, but we know he started working for Jack well before the camp began. And the camp is, I believe, 32 years old. So we're joined by this absolute legend who I'm also very happy to call a good friend. Super, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much, my best friend.
Super and I have had the amazing safaris together. We've had some real adventures in the Makgadikgadi Pans and as far afield as in Singapore and Thailand together. So it's a real pleasure to have you with us. And it's always an absolute pleasure being on safari with you. But most times we've been on safari is not in the normal place that people think of. When people think of a safari in Botswana, maybe they think of Chobe, but most of them will think of the Okavango Delta. But I mentioned the Makgadikgadi Pans. Super, what makes the Makgadikgadi Pans so special?
That's a very big subject, Peter. You know, when I first came to the salt pans, I thought I was just going to be here for 2 weeks and head back to Francistown because I thought Francistown was like my golden place ever to have lived in, only to realize that actually Francistown is too noisy. Too many cars, too many people, too many stray dogs, name it all. I'm still here today after 32 years plus. Yeah, so one of the best things that I can point out is that when you are within the salt pans, you actually don't have any problems because there's nothing out there. You will not encounter any problems out there unless you don't know where you are.
That to me is something I look for when I travel is places where you look around and there's nothing to tell you what year it is.
You don't even need your watch.
Yeah, a watch is an irritant when you're out there. Get rid of it. That's a beautiful description of it. So when you first started working for Jack, and let's just politely say you're somewhere in your 50s, is that correct?
I'm way above 50, but yes, yes.
And you started working for Jack as a teenager. When you first started working for him, did you imagine that all of these years later, you would still be living and working in the bush or the desert?
I totally had no clue. To be honest with you, I didn't even know what a safari was. I thought it was just a car because I used to see the Nissan safari cars in town, and that's all what I thought it was. And I never thought of anything of this nature that I'm in today also becoming a profession.
Yeah, that's actually funny. I often describe myself as the only person I know who became a safari guide by accident. Maybe you did too.
I think that's the answer.
That really is quite incredible. And to put this in context for the listeners, Super has won more awards than I think anybody else I know, Safari Guide of the Year, any number of these awards. He's been in magazines, on magazine covers, and among safari guides, revered. And something that I've always appreciated with you, Super, is there are a lot of safari guides out there who have a big reputation. They are very protective of that. you love to share. You love to share your knowledge and actually mentor young guides, bring them up, share the skills that you've got. One skill you don't have, lighting fire with sticks. I've seen you try and fail at that. But you're fantastic at sharing. I think that's what makes you so successful as a guide, is that you love to share your knowledge and your skills. When it comes to guiding, how important is sharing not just the knowledge, but the information about conservation? How important is that?
Very important and a very big subject that is, Mr. Peter. You know, for me, I believe very, very, very strongly that every time when I encounter somebody feeling that they've been guided by a younger person, that they feel like maybe they still haven't gotten their ropes around guiding, I feel like, well, that person should have helped fill in the gaps. So I try and welcome all the feedback that can be found or picked so I can use that to help these guys mature. For me, if we are going to continue preaching tourism as one of the only renewable resources in this country that we need to look after and get it to yield for the future generation, what we need to do is we need to bring the youth. We need to involve them. We need to get them in there. Because you can also look at the amount of charges that most of these guiding schools are charging. It's unaffordable for our average local person. So with the field experience that I have gained in my last 36 years being involved in tourism, I feel it is very important that before I lose my eyesight, my hearing, or my strength, at least if I can manage to give it to anything, 250 to 500 young people, that will be an excellent achievement. Because we need this to be carried on. And should we keep it to ourselves? People will enjoy being out there with me and you, but it doesn't help if we are not replaceable.
I agree. Yeah.
I think we definitely do need to bring in a lot of young people into this so they can carry this on.
Wonderful sentiment there. You mentioned 36 years in tourism. A lot of experience in there. When you walk through the bush or the desert, what do you notice that other people miss?
First of all, I'd prefer my most deafening silence of this place, followed by the fact that we have been operating in a very small area that the concession is huge, but the most part of this concession that we use is less than 3 cattle post areas, which employs 3 people. Here we sit with 3 camps in an area that, if we look at the most heavily used area, it will be down to a very small number, to be honest with you. That's equivalent to 3 cattle posts. And we've got over 250 people plus in this concession that are permanently employed. So that, to me, gives value to the reason why we should be looking after our surroundings. I'm looking at the populations of the animals that we are protecting here are growing every day.
Which animals are you seeing growing the most?
You know, a lot of different species. When I first got here, I think we used to see a wildebeest running at a kilometer before we get close to it. Yesterday, I was on a safari. I was able to see, I saw 3 cheetahs in one morning, beautiful numbers of lions. We saw one black, fully blonde black mane in the park yesterday, and then 2 other lions mating and a group of 12. And on that one safari, so African wildcat, aardwolf, we saw lots of springboks, pallas, kudus, some big bull elephants. The animal population is amazing. If we were not here, no one knows what it could have been like today. As I say, the animals was able to run away from your car at 1 kilometer. If you saw a jackal in 3 days safari, was an amazing sight. But today in one zebra or springbok kill, you find up to 50 jackals.
Amazing. They're a very underrated animal, jackals.
Absolutely. And this is also a very underrated area because everybody considered it as a marginal area. But believe me or not, I can show you 10 times more than many places that you can go to.
I was saying earlier how people, when they think of Botswana and a safari, they think of Chobe or the Okavango. You know, most of Botswana is not Chobe or the Okavango, it's Kalahari. And so coming to the Makgadikgadi is actually a true Botswana experience. But if we're talking about a gap in people's knowledge, if there was something people could know before they arrived in the Makgadikgadi, if there was one thing that you could have all of the guests arriving know before they arrived, what would that be?
I would say the first thing that I would encourage everyone to do is to read the leaflet that the agent gives to them, because that is one of the most important things. There's been so much studies and people working on this. So you find that everything is in there, how you should hold yourself, how you should dress up, what to prepare and all that. And then obviously just to listen to the management on the ground. This includes the guys that will be managing your experiences as a guest. Because if you don't connect with them, the chances of things going wrong also can be high. I normally stay tuned to my guest and stay tuned to my guide wherever I get guided, so that when you're guiding me in Singapore, you know, and no cars hit me because I was listening to you. So, yeah, I think it is very important for everybody to basically listen to their safety talks.
Agree with you 100% on that. We don't say those things just for fun. In this long career, I'm sure people always ask, what's the scariest experience you've had, or what's the most frightened you've been? I've got a slightly different question for you here. Was there a single moment that you had in the wilderness at large that just changed how you view everything?
I probably have not encountered much of those incidents because I tend to stay away from taking shortcuts. I tend to stay away from risking my life and my guest's life, and I have never taken a chance, and I stick to proper international drone boundaries that, you know, you don't overlap. I don't put my guest into risky zone. I will probably be one of the guys that have very little stories to tell in terms of experiencing plan Bs and Cs. I stick to stay away from problems. I don't wait for the second charge. And I don't even need the first charge.
It's actually interesting because I've been guiding just over 30 years now. Almost all my stories are from the first 3 or 4 years of my guiding. When I was a young man making a young man's mistakes, you start realizing. And I mean, you mentioned when we were in Singapore together, and then perhaps even when we're in the Philippines where the traffic is insane. The people in Manila, they know how to deal with that traffic. They've grown up with it, and they're less likely to get hit by a car than you or I.
Exactly, because we're paying attention at every single moment.
Yeah, but put us into the bush, and then we know how to deal with the dangers there. That's our area of expertise.
Yeah, that gives you the idea that when we are in other places, when I move away from the Makgadikgadi to an area that I'm not familiar with, I become a kid. It applies to everyone across board. You know, when guests comes out of their comfort zones to this side, they need to find us well-prepared and well-tuned to our surroundings. So read every single moment of your day to put your guests on the safe side, and also to be able to give them the experience that wouldn't have gotten it if you were not paying attention to those details. Communication out here is always open for you. You have to make sure that you are tuned to all the animal calls. Name it all, your winds, your trees, everything communicates with you.
This is maybe a bit like a magician showing how a trick is done. Yeah, people always go, how did you know that there were lions just over there? The key thing you've just mentioned is listening.
It's listening, because if there's a lion out there and he walks past the jackal or past the dogs or some go away bird or some lapwings, they're going to give you the heads up.
Absolutely.
It can be the brush is being broken, some elephant feeding, and you've been looking for elephants, not knowing where they are. And maybe some elephant is telling its baby, please move away. I need to bring down a branch. You need to be tuned. and you can pick those things.
Amazing. I'm going to bring it back to conservation here. Natural selection is involved with almost 100 different community and conservation programs. Are there any of those that you have a particular interest in or a passion for?
Yeah, a lot of them. If you remember very well, the first time that me and you did a safari in NG12, we took helicopters and crossed the waters to the village of Eretsa. Today we have, I think, Kudikwa, Gunitsuha, Betsa, Eretsa, Makoto, Sirong, as far as to Sironga. All these villages have benefited from that safari, you know that?
Yes, through the Elephant Express. Do you want to explain what that is?
I'm very sure that this might sound out of the way, but that safari brought us to where we sit today with those communities. It was just a safari and the discussion in the communities and finding out that people are being molded by animals. And today, I remember when I went back there because I moved out of that place in 2019. But I went back there after COVID. I was with Fabio. We asked the people, so how are you doing? They were like, oh my God, super, you can't believe this. We have not lost one person since the buses.
So just for those who aren't aware what we're talking about, there was a moment where Super and I were together with a few other people from our company. And we flew to a village to let them know that we were their new neighbors and said we'd like to be good neighbors. And I remember going up there and you and I agreed, all of us agreed flying up there, that most of them were going to say the problem that they had was lions eating their cattle, elephants eating their crops. We were convinced that was it. And we were all wrong. They said that their children getting to school, elderly people going to the clinic were getting hit by elephants and killed one or two a year. That's what began the process with some very good partners of the Elephant Express. And as Super just mentioned, since we've brought these buses in, doing the school run, doing the clinic run, there's not been a fatality. As I said, an absolute high point in my career. And so I'm thrilled to hear it's the same for you.
Yeah. And also, you know, we're not going to forget the schools. You know, we used to have, you know, schools like we have two primary schools in Guetta, secondary school in the Brigade is a training center for other things. They used to drive over 200 kilometers to go and get their examination papers printed. Nowadays, those exams can be printed in all the schools. All the paperwork can be printed in the offices of the schools because of our projects. Should there be a problem with electricity, since we all know we get our electricity from South Africa, in our hospitals, we have a primary hospital, Guetta, that is hosting Puduhudu, Zoroha Village, Sokasa Village, Nata, Mangotai, Sipako, name all those villages around Tawatsugudu. This village depend on this hospital. But today, we used to run out of water because the power is out for 4 or 5 days. Nowadays, you don't get that because of the project with the panels and submersible pumps that have been planted. There is a substitute by the company. So our projects are very important to us. You know, if you are, there's somebody in a theater in the village of Guetta today, in that whole primary hospital, and the power gets cut off, the hospital will continue with their job, as the nurses and doctors will not stop working because there's no power, and that person who is in theater will be taken care of as if nothing happened. To us, to me, I'm pretty sure I'm in the same study room that me and you, when we first met, when you came to introduce us, how much you're going to put back. And I remember asking you, interesting, we will wait and see. And I'm very proud to be sitting here and talking to you today, being able to tell the truth of exactly what has happened on the ground. So thank you very much for having stood your ground and proved that what you were saying 10 years ago, and we're sitting here 10 years later, thank God you were right, and it's happening.
Well, I very much appreciate you saying thank you. I am the smallest cog in the machine. There's a lot of fantastic people doing the work on the ground. I actually had a last question for you, but you've already answered. I said, what's some good news to leave with? One of the things I love going on safari with you is I do learn something every single time. I've learned today that we're helping that hospital. I didn't know we were actually doing that. That's an amazing program.
There's a lot more other things, but we might spend the whole day here. The good thing is, you know, when you talk health, everybody wants to stay alive. The greatest thing about it today is that, you know, when you do things like this, it will cost you very little to the protection of your wildlife, because once people see the value, they then speak up, they stand up for the surroundings themselves, which makes it all clean and clear.
Fantastic. What an amazing note to finish on. Super, my friend, it is always a pleasure speaking with you. And the next time, I hope, is not over the internet. It's somewhere in another wonderful place.
In the bush.
In the bush. I'll see you out there soon. I'm heading to Botswana in a couple of weeks. So hopefully we'll cross paths then.
Always a pleasure to be with you.
Thank you so much for joining us and that amazing information you gave us just then. You go out and enjoy that amazing environment that you are in.
Fantastic. Thank you very much, Peter.
Thanks, Super.
Have fun.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. When we choose to travel differently, with care and a bit of thought, we get to look after the wild places we visit, strengthen the communities who live there, and still change us along the way. If, after listening, you'd like to help make that difference, you can support the work of the Natural Selection Foundation. Go to www.naturalselectionfoundation.org, or better yet, come on safari.